We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Luke chapter 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus. Now that is the phrase I want you to see. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. I'm glad that Jesus loves sinners, aren't you? I'm glad he loves sinners. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. I believe he's had a change. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is to come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now I want to preach by the help of the Lord on this very, very familiar story here in the Word of God, one that we probably one of the first stories that we learned in the Bible as children. Zacchaeus, and what is the song says, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree because the Lord he wanted to see. And that's what I want to preach on here this morning, is the thrill of seeing Jesus. The thrill of seeing Jesus. Now, who was Zacchaeus? Now, the Bible tells us exactly who that he was. He was a tax collector. Verse 2 tells us that he was the chief among the publicans. And that means that he was the head tax collector. In other words, he was a traitor to the nation of Israel because he was aligned with Rome. And so people hated him because Zacchaeus defrauded them out of their money. Rome, what happened is, and why he was so hated was, that Rome set a standard tax rate. In other words, and men like Zacchaeus charged what they wanted to charge above that. In other words, Rome had what they demanded, but then somebody like Zacchaeus could raise the tax level to whatever he wanted it to be. And so the people had no choice but to pay the taxes that were assessed to them. And as a result of his position, and as a result of his greed that he had, he was a very rich man, he was a very powerful man, he was a very connected man, he was a very feared man, and above all, he was a very despised man. And so while Zacchaeus was wealthy and he had position and power, he knew that there was something that was missing in his life. His financial, his political, his social connection left him very empty and very needy. And so somewhere along the way, Zacchaeus heard that a man named Jesus was going to pass through. Maybe he heard that report from the men who worked for him as they came from collecting taxes around in the community. Perhaps he heard that story firsthand as he fleeced the people out of their money. Regardless of what it was, there was something when he heard about Jesus that was tugging at his heartstrings. He knew, as all sinners know, He knew no matter the wealth and the popularity, or the, not the popularity, but the position and all these kind of things, was not fulfilling his life. He knew there was something missing in his life. And no doubt he wanted to see if what was missing in his life could be found in that person by the name of Jesus. So he was not satisfied. And I want to say this. Whether you would admit it or not, if you're here and you're unsaved, you're not satisfied. You know that there's something missing in your life. You've heard me say it so many times from this pulpit. When God created you, he created inside of man a vacuum that only a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ will fill that vacuum. Nothing else will fill that vacuum but a relationship with Jesus. That's why people try everything that they try to find satisfaction, because they know there's something missing, but what they don't understand is there's nothing that's going to ever fill that vacuum except the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he knew he wasn't satisfied. He wasn't satisfied with anything that he had, and he came to the place where nothing but seeing Jesus would satisfy that deep longing down in his soul. Now, as we look into this story, many of us have been at that same place. Many people are sitting here in this congregation. You've been to that same place where you found out that nothing wasn't satisfying you. And so, when we were lost, God brought us to a place where there was nothing in our lives was enough anymore. In other words, he brought us to that place where we knew that something was missing. And I'm sure that a lot of us here this morning, when we first realized that, we didn't know exactly what it was that was missing. But we just knew that something inside of us was missing. That we weren't satisfied. We had a good family. We had a good job. We had a good house. We had good cars and all those kind of things. We had money in the bank, but there was something missing in our lives. And so he brought us to the place where we knew that. He brought us to the place where that we could not drown our need in alcohol. He brought us to a place where we could not do away with that need with drugs and all of these kind of things that people tries to use. And so he God, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, brought us to a place where we knew that we needed him. Do you remember that? You do remember that when Jesus brought you to that place where you knew that you needed him and nothing else. So we came to him and he saved us by his grace. At least that's my experience. At least that's what happened in my life. And I praise him for that in my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That he brought me to that place and he broke me and showed me how much and forced me to look to Jesus to receive what I needed in my life. And so here, as we look at this, I know that probably the majority of the people here today are Christian. I'm sure there's some here that are not Christians. So I'm talking to people mostly who have already looked away by faith and have come to know Jesus in a personal way. I'm preaching to the redeemed. Even after we're saved, and that's what I want you to see here this morning, even after that we're saved, there is still a desire down in our hearts to see him. There's a desire to know him. There is a desire in the heart of a saved person to grow in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you read his word, as you walk with him, there will be that ever-deepening desire to know him better. Now look what the Apostle Paul said of his own desire to know the Lord in a deeper fashion. Look in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. He said, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And he found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is God by faith, that I may know him." Now look at this. Paul's already saved. And he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain of the resurrection of the dead, not as though I've already obtained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Philippians 3, verse 8 through 12. The words know and knowledge. Look at those two words. They speak of the most intimate knowledge of all. These words refer to a deep knowledge or a deep, infinite, intimate, and complete. Paul is talking about seeing Christ in all of his fullness. Don't you want to see that? He said, I want to see Christ in all of his fullness and all of his knowledge at the most intimate of levels. Paul wants to know Jesus completely. No matter how long you've been saved, you don't know him completely. Right. And so Paul wanted to know him completely. Only then, Paul said, I'll be able to apprehend. Or only then will I be able to hold on to the purpose for which the Lord has laid hold on him. In other words, it's the intimacy of seeing Jesus that enables us to become the person that Jesus saved us to be. Yes. Now the three of us have seen Jesus. And I think we very can identify with the Apostle Paul. No matter how deep the saint of God grows in the things of God, there will always seem to be a desire down in our hearts for more. Yes. If that's not there, I'd be concerned about my relationship with the Lord. Yes. There should be a desire in your heart. There's a desire to know him better. There should be a desire to understand his word better. There should be a desire to go closer to him. There should be a desire within the child of God to know him in all of his fullness. And so no matter how close you get, no matter how much you learn about the Lord, or how much you grow in the Lord, there's always should be in the child of God a desire for more. Yes. I want more. Amen. I want to know more. Yes. I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. Yes. I want to know more. The child of God is never satisfied with where he is or where she is in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you satisfied at the place that you're at? In other words, when you get satisfied, you know what's going to happen? You're going to go cold and you'll get slack. And we see that's happening among a lot of Christians. We see that happening among a lot of people that attend church here. We see that they have grown cold and they are getting slack on the things of God. And so as long as there's a hunger, and as long as there's a desire for the Lord Jesus Christ in the heart of the saint of God, there'll be growth. There'll be closeness. There'll be blessings. As long as you've got a hunger. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, they shall be filled. Hunger for more. Hunger for more. And so from the well-known story of Zacchaeus, I want to preach the thrill of seeing Jesus. I want you to understand that seeing him is essential in living a successful, happy Christian life. Now, if you're saved, God wants to bring you to the place where seeing him means more to you than anything else in the world. That's where God wants to bring every one of us to. He wants us to get to the place that seeing him means more to us than anything else in all the world. He wants you to know the thrill of seeing Jesus. You see, God knows that you'll never be all that he saved you to be until you come to the place where you can see him. Can you see him this morning? I'm not asking if you're saved. I'm asking you, can you see him? Notice the truth that presents himself here in this passage. If you look in verse 3 and verse 7, now you'll see the difficulties of seeing him. When the desire to see Jesus was birthed in the heart of Zacchaeus, he made his way to the roadway where he knew that Jesus would travel as he passed through Jericho. He stationed himself beside the road because he wanted to see the Lord. But Zacchaeus was hindered in his effort to see the Lord. There were some obstacles that was in his way and prevented him from achieving his goals. And I want you to notice these difficulties, and these difficulties that prevented, that hindered Zacchaeus, they're still hindering God's children today. Amen. From seeing the Lord. Amen. The difficulties of the crowd. Now, apparently, Zacchaeus was a little late, like a lot of church people. You know, getting to church on time, a little bit late. He was a little late getting there. You know, and going to the place where he thought that Jesus would be. So what happened? When he arrived, the crowd had already gathered. And since he was little of stature, or since he was short, wasn't a very tall person, the crowd posed a huge problem for him because he could not see over them. They blocked his view. All of us have been to events where that we was behind the crowds and we couldn't see what was going on the stage or whatever because of the crowd. That was the situation here. And so you see the difficulties of the crowd. And then you see the difficulties of his own condition. As I always mentioned, Zacchaeus was a short person. Wasn't very tall. So part of the reason of the difficulties in seeing Jesus was something that he brought to the table himself. He was a part of his own problem. He couldn't help that, but he was, because he was short. Now, when you develop a desire to see the Lord, you need to understand that your desire will not be unopposed. Satan will place whatever obstacle he can in your path to keep you from seeing Jesus. Did you hear what I'm saying? When you get a desire to see Jesus, Satan will place in your path any obstacle that he can to keep you from seeing Jesus. And so here, sometimes he'll use people. Now there's times when he'll use a spouse. There's times when he'll use a parent. There's a time when he'll use a child. Yes. There's times when he'll use other persons to hinder you in your desire to see the Lord. Spouse, say, let's don't go to church today. Let's go somewhere else. Child, say, I can't go to church today. I've got this to do. So, people. You get a desire to, and you, people that you love, people that you care about, can become an obstacle in you seeing the Lord. And the devil don't care to use them for that. He'll place them in your path and they'll criticize you and they'll criticize your efforts. You don't need to go to church that much. Just go once every once in a while. They may attack those who would try to help you to draw the Lord. Tell you those people over at that church, they're just no hypocrites anyway. Amen. We're as good as they are. So you don't need to go all the time. They'll stand in your way and they'll do all they can to prevent you from seeing him. Sometimes he'll use the flaws in our own nature to hinder us from seeing Jesus. I said he was short, so that was a flaw in his own nature. And I want to say something to some of you here this morning, and I bet you wouldn't ever admit that. We all have character flaws. Amen. Don't we? Don't we all have them? Yes. We may not want to admit, but we all have character flaws. There's some things in our character. We have character flaws, and I heard Johnny teaching this morning down on the monitor. We all have sin. Come on. And we're constantly seeking to overcome. Yes. And so if he can, Satan will use our own shortcomings to keep us from seeing Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12. Laying aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us. Yes. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Yes. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our salvation. So all I'm saying here is, when you go after Jesus, when you develop the desire within your heart to see him, you can rest assured that there'll be difficulties. Come on. Your flesh and the devil do not want you to see him. No. They don't want you to see him. They know that if you ever see him in all of his fullness and all of his glory and all of his power, that'll change your life forever.
Amen.
And so they know that seeing Him will diminish their power and their influence in your life. They know that if you ever see Him, that you'll never be the same. Thus, they do all that they can to hinder you. To some people, even though they say they're saved, and I don't doubt that they're saved, they never have got to that place where they know Jesus in that intimate relationship. And they've not seen Him in His fullness and His power and His glory. And to them, then He's just something that they hear about at church and that's all that He is to them. But God wants you to go after that fact that you want to see Him. You want to know Him, as the Apostle Paul said.
Yes.
You want to get closer. And so I want you to see the difficulties, the critics. Even after Zacchaeus saw Jesus, there was those who criticized. This time their criticism was twofold. They criticized Zacchaeus by calling him a sinner. How about that?
Come on.
Oh, Zacchaeus, a sinner. He's a tax collector. He defrauds us. He takes money from us that we don't owe. And he steals from us. He's a sinner. They were right, but they had no right to judge him.
That's right.
Matthew 7:1-5. Judge not that you be not judged. And by the way, your critics don't have no right to judge you either. And when they do, they're merely opening a window into their own souls, which reveals to you that they're not where they should be in their own walk with the Lord. And second, they criticize Jesus for having anything to do with Zacchaeus, who was a sinner. One of the best things that was ever said about Jesus was said in criticism, it was said in hatred, it was said in sarcasm, but it was the greatest thing that has ever been said, and this is what they said. Jesus loves sinners.
Amen.
Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus loves old sinners?
Amen.
No matter what an old sinner has done or how far that he sunk down in sin, Jesus still loves sinners today. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
And so they criticized Jesus for having anything to do with Zacchaeus, for what kind of a man that he was. I want you to know I wasn't a very good person when I came to an altar and asked the Lord Jesus to save me. And so none of us was. So in their failure to see Jesus for themselves, they were guilty of condemning the Lord along with the person that they despised. And so don't allow the critics and the criticism to bother you when you have a desire to see the Lord. You're going to have critics.
Yes.
You're going to have people that will criticize you and tell you that you don't need to do that much. You don't need to read your Bible that much. You don't need to pray that much.
Right.
You don't need to go to church that much. Listen, God wants you to get out here and have fun, they'll say. Just stay the course when the critics come along. Just endure in striving to see Him. If you ever do, the critics and their petty complaints and will fade and do nothing in the light of the glory and the grace that you'll get to see in the Lord Jesus. For when you see Him in His glory, you're looking full into the face of God, and there's no greater thrill than that. Look what 2 Corinthians 4:6 says. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The first thing is the difficulties of seeing Him. When you get a desire, you're going to run into obstacles. You're going to run into difficulties. You're going to run into criticisms. And the second thing I want you to see is the dedication of seeing Him. Look in verse 4. The desire to see Jesus was so great that Zacchaeus would neither allow the crowd nor his condition of shortness to get in his way. He was dedicated with a desire of seeing Jesus, and he paid the price to accomplish that desire. Now it required effort. Now notice here in verse 4, he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. He ran, the first thing I want you to see. And he climbed. Both of those things indicate effort. He had to put forth some effort to run. He had to put forth some effort to climb up into the sycamore tree. So Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, and he was willing to pay the price to do so. Seeing Jesus will not always be easy.
That's right.
It'll cost you something to see him. What is it? The price of prayer. What kind of prayer life do you have?
Come on.
How often do you pray?
Come on.
The price will be time in the Word of God.
Yes.
How much do you read the Word of God? Do you want to see Jesus? How much time do you spend in the Word of God? The price will be attendance in the house of God. How much is enough coming to church for you? How bad do you want to see Jesus? He'll cost you attendance in the house of God. The price will be turning away from your sins. The price will be sacrificing your dignity.
Come on.
Seeing Jesus will not be cheap, but it'll be worth it.
Yes.
Whatever price you have to pay, the question is, what price are you willing to pay to see Him?
Yes.
There's nothing in your life that's worth more than your ability to see Him.
Amen.
Whatever you have to put down, whatever you have to take up, whatever you have to do, you must be able to see Him. Nothing is more important than to be able to see Jesus in all of His power and all of His fullness, in His intimacy with you, that you have that relationship with Him. It required escape. Before Zacchaeus could see the Lord, he had to distance himself from the crowds.
Amen.
Now he had to get away from the people who were standing in his way. That is why he ran before them. He ran away from the people who hindered them. Could I say with all humility and in all respect to anyone here, I'm afraid that many church-going people, Christians, are allowing people to stand in their way of being what they want to be for the Lord. They're listening to people and what people has to say. Now you listen to me. I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to hurt you. And so seeing Jesus may require you to distance yourselves from the people who would stop us from seeing Him. No one in this world is worth more than your ability to see Jesus.
Amen.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at UnionTempleFWB.org.